Last time on Lawful Stupid.
William is here, Beatrice is here, and Mr. Dean is here, and he talks about the case file with you.
So the jury, unfortunately, is going to be stacked against you, Beatrice. Of course, it's all Sun Elves who have only heard bad things about you. Of course, I will be doing my best to sway them the opposite way, but I think we're going to be able to have a strong case here. It wasn't you. Someone has gotten the word out that somehow your room was left open, and so perhaps they think it could have been you who was out and about. I don't know.
Whoever is pretending to be Mrs. B, clearly it's awful.
You wake up the next morning.
The town has lined the streets. The people here are angry. You walk into this dome-shaped building once again. You take the familiar spot at the table to the left. And about the time you look over, you can't quite see who the person is that is like on the plaintiff's team. The guy who is accused, this Beatrice, of causing these terrible, heinous acts. The judges walk out. And you hear the bailiff, who's kind of out next to him, say, "All rise for the Honorable Judge Jern." Bailiff says, "The Honorable Judge Jern."
Judge Fudge.
And as we mentioned at the close of the last episode, Beatrice, it hits you all of a sudden. You realize that this judge, this Sun Elf, is the same Sun Elf that you remember. The reason why you kind of joined the KNG in the first place is he told you that he was going to, his people were going to come and destroy your village.
Because they wanted the land.
Not Haven Bay, sorry, excuse me.
Haven Bay.
Angel's Cove. And Haven Bay. No one survives.
Everything.
Everything.
They were going to run. They were going to wreck your shop, and they were going to take your home. And so the KNG
Everywhere
told
you.
Everyone
you've ever visited and had a nice time.
Yeah. They're dead. And that's when the KNG told you that they would handle it if you were to join. That's what you know. And that's what we opened with.
They handled it by appointing him to a judgeship so that he would not have any ambitions for real estate any further.
Apparently, it's bullshit.
And he says, I need a different voice. I keep falling kind of in the same voices here. What does he got? What do you think? What do you think Jern sounds like now?
I think he's an honorable judge.
It's Chauncey.
Ready?
Good
morning, everyone.
That's the Judge Fudge I was looking for.
I'm so thankful for you all to be here today. Please take a seat.
Does it pair well with the overt elf racism?
Yeah.
Now everybody take out your. Now what we have here
everybody
is a case.
Take out your lynching ropes.
Of, a case of the Sun Elf City versus, and he looks over, Miss Beatrice, and he's like asking, like, Beatrice Haven. Roll a history check with this boy.
For one thing, Miss B has never said her full name here, I believe.
There's statues of you, man. Like, what are you talking about?
In Angel's Cove, not here in the Sun Elf City.
There.
Mr. Dean says, I may have given him your name. I don't know.
You had to put it on the paperwork.
Yeah, it was on the paperwork. Sorry, it's in the packet. You get him.
You know names have power, right? Why would you do that?
I put your address as my address because I just didn't know. I just thought there's gonna be weird thing that we live together. I mean, that would be crazy.
And then again, anyways, well, I can change it. We can change it after.
Now, as is common practice here, the defendant gets an opportunity to make a plea. Miss Beatrice Haven, how do you plea?
Not guilty.
And everyone like kind of wow, and they're kind of getting a little bit loud, a little rowdy with it. And now I will have order in my courts. And he hits three times the gavel. Order.
If you can't handle yourselves, you hooligans, and I'll make sure you'll never set foot in here again. Now, Mrs. Beatrice Haven, here's how this works. The plaintiffs, any kind of motions to them, will make their case. They may call up a few people to stand a defense, and then you'll have the same opportunity. Following that, we'll have people here make a verdict and pass that up to us, and that ultimately comes to me. I'll make the final verdict, and then there'll be closing arguments and sentences, if it comes to that. Are there any questions?
Not at all. When you're ready. Good.
Without further ado, and so then coming through the back door, the door that is in the back of this room.
Is this the prosecutor?
Yes.
Can I make a request?
Yeah, let's do it.
For this voice, can you be like a fast-talking New Yorker? From the 1950s? Can you be like, all right, now listen here, Josh.
Hey, let's see what I'm talking about. I got the first accent, I want to get a bit of us. Yeah, we'll do that. I'll try to do it and make it as enjoyable and slightly annoying as possible. So there is a taller sun elf, and you see someone behind him. You can't quite see who this figure is, but you know that this is the prosecuting part, the one who's like made the accusations. Mm-hmm. And you see him, and I don't know how you feel about it. I kind of want to know, just this will be like an internal to you as characters. It's Dr. Ryan. And
what?
They saunter on up and over to the table.
He was the guy in the lab coat.
And he's like, hey, George, I'm here. The prosecutor's ready to take this court to case, and we shouldn't take very long here. We'll be done. Now, I'll tell you, son, when things are going to happen. Now, here, Miss Beatrice Haven has pled not guilty, which means you can now send your people up here to give any kind of testimony and provide evidence. I won't run you all through the rigmarole, and so what we'll do is they kind of bring up those same witnesses that you all got to talk to yesterday, right? And so he goes through first, Mr. Howard. Yes.
Okay, just a quick admin note. As soon as Dr. Ryan shows up, I think that Fume and Breeze are both going to like get up and like move so that they're sitting behind him. And actually Breeze is going to go off and he's going to fiddle with one of the lights. And he's going to try to make like a little shadow next to Ryan so that if need be, the boy can bibbidi-bop over to him.
Okay.
I'm confused because Dr. Ryan, he is not a sun elf, was he?
No.
How is this man allowed in this town if it's just a sun elf town and they're even more racist?
Well, I think
he's not any kind of elf. That's the grossest thing you can be.
Ew, David. And so the prosecutor, he questions Mr. Howard, and he gets out of him sort of the same things that this lady who he, you know, points to you. Who was it that you saw? He points to Miss Beatrice. Came in and describes all the things she bought. And so then now the judge says, and the defense? And so, like, again, I don't know if you want to point out the points that we had discussed in terms of the magic or whatnot, or if you expect him to recant then. Would you like to question? Would you like Mr. Dean to question?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably going to lean over to William and be like, could you help with this one? I wasn't sure how to talk to this man here.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Mr. Dean, do you want me to go up there or?
Yeah, I think you have the prowess. I mean, you've seen this 1,000 times, yeah.
Oh, I'm a fucking attorney now? Great.
I will back you up. If you need anything, I got you, but
I think we're going to be okay here.
Cracks and knuckles.
Boy, has my life been just like preparation for this.
All right.
Well, William stands up. He like adjusts his, his suit and his. He made sure his cape was ready, so he kind of turns.
Is it billows?
Yeah, okay. Fuck yeah, it is. That's the whole reason I have it. And I approach.
It's the whole reason I have.
And I say,
it's the whole point.
And it's Dr. Ryan on the stand, correct?
No, this is Mr. Howard, the apothecary owner.
Oh, okay, I misunderstood. I approach less aggressively, but still confidently. Mr. Howard, is it true that you've never met Miss B before, prior to your accusations the last few days?
Yeah, that's true.
Is it true that you sound really grumpy?
I don't know if I would say that, but perhaps people do perceive me to be grumpier than most.
Perfect. I just wanted to make sure you were being honest with yourself and with the court at large. So, when we spoke yesterday, we talked of magic, and the person you saw wasn't exactly the person you saw. When you met Mrs. B yesterday, for the first time, did you feel that that person matched the description or the general demeanor of this imposter the day before?
Well, no.
All right, that makes sense.
The jury is like mouthing to each other.
And is there anything that would give you reason or cause to think that our lovely Mrs. B here actually came to purchase these poisonous materials from you, and it wasn't some imposter?
Objection, Your Honor. He's leading the witness.
That's fair. I withdraw. That's fair.
Okay.
Let me rephrase my question, Your Honor. How often do you sell these poisonous supplies?
And he begins, like, kind of sweating.
Sweating? Yeah. Oh, fuck. Now it's all
me. I don't exactly just sell. They together when someone can take them together and make them, then they become poisonous. It's not that me, Mr. Howard, sell them as poisons.
Of course. No, I... Of course. I wasn't intending to insinuate that you're the cause of the problem here. The frequency of those ingredients that are sold in your store, would you say you sell those types of ingredients daily, weekly, monthly?
I sell them probably daily, except the hay bale was a weird
nope.
request.
Perfect. You've answered my question. You sell these very ingredients every day, to multiple people all the time. But then you see someone who looks like Mrs. B, and obviously my rod of detect magic, which I can put into evidence, I guess, but you guys can detect magic. That determined there was magical essence, and your shop doesn't allow magic. Is that true?
Well, only to concoct the things we make, and that's
correct.
Myself or my team.
Correct. So the residue of magic was the magic used to cause impersonations. Devin, I am staring down Mr. Ryan. Or not staring him down, but like getting a look at him. He give anything away? Can I check to see if he's not liking the fact that we're calling him out for using magic?
So what you're saying that you're asking Mr. Howard, but you're staring at, obviously, Miss Dr. Ryan.
So I ask the question, and then I look around the courtroom, but the whole point is to look at Dr. Ryan.
Are you trying to stare at him or just catch a glance to see what he's...
I just want to see his face is as I'm saying that somebody is impersonating Mrs. B with magic.
Roll a perception for me.
Yes, I would love to do that for you, just for you, Devin. All right,
okay, no one else gets this roll. Don't tell them what it is.
Nobody else gets this roll.
I'm going to see it in D&D Beyond.
Dang it.
It's natural 20, baby! So that's 21.
You just barely. Eye twitches a little bit. Corner of his right eye.
Perfect.
Doesn't really... No, shoulders don't move. Head doesn't move. Eye twitches.
William shouts Firefly. No, I'm kidding.
It's on.
Perfect. So it's fair to say that you sell these items every day then, and you've only met her once for real.
Yes. Yeah.
Perfect.
If that's all, then I suppose we'll leave it at that. Oh, a real quick question. I did want to just confirm. When was it that you said this imposter showed up at your store?
I'd say it was about 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Perfect. And it was about an hour that this supposed, alleged Mrs. B stayed.
Aye.
Perfect. And did this Mrs. B happen to pay you in coin?
She did.
You know, it's a curious thing about coin, and you're a man of science. Did you know?
I guess because of every things.
Alchemy is science. Did you know that every person's fingerprint is unique?
Kind of looks at his own and back up at you, like almost waiting for the question.
That was the question. Did you know every person's fingerprint is unique?
Oh no, I didn't. Yes. I mean,
so. We could.
Yes, I've always wondered as I stare at my thumbs. We could definitely.
Man has always wondered.
We could definitely take the coin that was paid to you and just compare it to a few samples. Perhaps find out who was really there.
I doubt that I can pool the coins. That's exchanged in and out day to day. I don't know. There's no way I could find that out.
Might I add something to your questions?
I walk over to you. You motion. Do you want to ask them?
Mind link, bro.
Ask him, what did I buy?
So you give me like a nod or something, and I put my finger to my temple, and I just. Boop, 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 boop. What's up?
Ask him, what did I buy? The whole list of things I've bought. I'm allergic to hay.
What? That's a weird allergy. For another time. Hold on. Boop. You get some nice jazz music. But it's like low, you know? So like you still hear everything that's going on. It's not like those, when you get on those ones, you're like, oh my God, let me take my headphones off. Howard, I apologize. I did have one more question. Could you just give me a list of everything that this person allegedly purchased?
Yeah, and because I'm not a smart D&D man, he gives you a list of like different things that make sure. Poison. He gives you hay, and he gives you an empty note. He says a fresh notebook.
Excellent. And there was a big bale of hay that this person carried out then.
Well, it was like if you take a hay bale and chop it into falls into sections. Then. You got a section of it. No, bushels are big. I mean, just like a section of hay. If you put it in quarters, you took a quarter of hay.
Excellent. Perfect. That's all for now. And then I go sit down and I say, hey, Dane, I need you to bring me some hay in. And then I hang up my collect call.
Oh, okay. Your Honor, if we could have I request a 10-minute recess, please. He says,
nope. Okay. Oh, wait.
Not granted.
Hey, Fume, I need you to go get a thing of hay and sneak it in here. Just put it behind our desk.
You got it, boss.
Thanks.
So that witness comes off the stand.
Hey, Breeze, I'm in murder mode. Go get some hay.
And Breeze runs, all right. And the second witness comes up to the stand. We don't have to roll through all these again if you don't want to, but that was very impressive, Dwayne. I feel like this one would be the easiest if you guys wanted to argue for it, for the language. Actually, I have a thing I want to do, so let's do this. She gets up on the stand, and the guy, you know, asks all of his questions. It seemed very incriminating. She overheard this, the words she mentioned. The jury begins to talk. Order, that the judge calls for, because people are like, they're hearing this, and just hearing it is swaying them. Defense turn. And,
Who is translating?
There'll be someone there who okay. can translate.
Cool. Just making sure that exists and we're not being swindled.
The judge says, I would like to see the plaintiff's representation and the defense's representation up here in my chambers for just a moment. And so that'll be, you can make, that'll be William, Dean, and then the fast-talking guy for the plaintiff.
When the fast-talking man leaves, is Dr. Ryan alone?
No, he is. There's another guy to his right with him, and there's still all What's these that people that are like? Sitting there.
We're going into his chambers.
Hot.
Damn.
One thing we love at Lawful Stupid, among the other things we love at Lawful Stupid, is spreading the word about your business. Or maybe you want to tell your sweet, sweet grandma that you love her for the world to hear. We want to give you that chance. If you're a business and want to get your services on the air, or just want to tell a loved one a personal message, head on over to lawfulstupid.org/messageinabottle. There you can take around 250 words to say what you want. Business ads are $20. Personal ads are $10. Tell the world what you have to hear with Lawful Stupid's Message in a Bottle. So there's a door that appears underneath, like the outcropping he's on, and you walk into that up the stairs, and he says,
"Now I dial my phone to Mrs. B.
Just, okay. Hey, just hold on. You'll be able to hear things when I say them out loud. You just can't hear the other side."
And the judge says, "Now there has been a very strange request by Mr. Dean.
Request by Mr. Dean.
To perform some unorthodox, but he says relevant, ways to prove the next portion of the defense's case. Now, I've never seen this done, but apparently he's sure that this is how they're going to determine that, and I don't want to give it away so that the prosecution can't take this away from the defense. But I've allowed it. I've allowed this thing to happen." And he says to the prosecution, you may exit so I can explain this to Mr. And he points to William.
Raven.
Mr. Raven. And so the prosecution kind of gives a side eye and he leaves. And he says, Mr. Raven, it has come to my attention that Mr. Dean here would like to take an unorthodox approach to this next point of proving that Miss Beatrice Haven does not know how to speak Sylvan, because as you know, simply asking somebody if they know a language and them saying no does not in fact prove that they do not know that language. And Dean says, "All right, man, so I've got a friend who can do trances. She's in town. She is known to kind of like a positive psychology, enter the mind, kind of flip how people perceive things, whether that's pain or pleasure, kind of like a hypnotherapy type thing. And so I would like to put Miss B in a situation where she thinks that perhaps you're in danger and that this woman is shouting things in Sylvan. And so the only way that Miss B would know to save you is to listen to what the woman is saying. But obviously Miss B's not going to know, right? And she knows that you're a friend. I guess the point we need to establish is your friendship and your connection for the jury to buy it."
Oh, sure. He cancels the mind call. "Oh, yeah, we're really close."
Okay. I don't know how you do that, but I'm going to let you set that up again. And then the only people who are going to be able to see kind of this vision, the jury kind of knows what's coming up.
Yeah, so question. Is this like a magical thing that they're doing, or is this like a psychological
illusory
thing?
Yeah, it's illusory. I don't know if I'm saying that
okay,
right.
Okay, good. Illusory. Because I'm sure the Sun Elves being elves, know that all elves can't magically be charmed or tranced, right? We all remember this?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good. Good. Just so we know, this is a psychological trick of the mind.
Yes.
Not magical.
Yes.
Hear that, listeners? Okay. All right, yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. And so he says, is everybody understands? Yes, sir. And so you go back down, and he says, all right, William, take the lead.
Is this trans person out here already?
She's kind of sitting over to the side, and I guess she's waiting
for
you.
I give the mind call, and I say, hey, Mrs. B, these fucking people are weird. So here's what they're going to do. These son of people are going to give this hippy-dippy, newfangled psychology approach to this.
You can call her what she is. She's a mind freak.
Yeah, she's a mind freak. So basically what she's going to do is basically put you in a trance to help you tell the truth. So just watch the watch or whatever, the pen, pendulum, whatever she's going to do. Just relax, open your mind. That way you'll be telling the truth because you have nothing to hide. Sound good?
Sounds good. All right.
And you can trust me.
Always.
All right, great. All right, so we set them up in front of each other and she sets him in a trance?
Yeah, okay. So the people included in this that can kind of see this, is she's able to tune the jury into a part of it that is just for viewing, right? So they know it's a viewing experience. They can see this happening. They can see what's happening in real time. But they know without a doubt, no matter what's happening, that it is not real. They are very aware of that. And so then she, the one who begins to put Miss B in a trance without her knowing it, almost.
So everybody can see this, is what you're saying? Everybody can?
So what everyone else would see is kind of this woman almost just staring at Miss Beatrice for a long period of time. And it looks like Miss Beatrice is just staring back at her. Like in a room, it's almost just like an awkward thing for everyone else, except the jurors, the judge, what are we calling her? The hypnotherapist and
mind freak,
William,
Christina Angel,
mind freak, and Miss B. And Miss B. Suddenly you're like lifted into the air, and it feels you think you're being lifted into the air, and you're looking down on this courthouse scene, and you're thrown what seems across like the planet and placed onto this pedestal high above this roaring ocean. And
well, fuck,
you see more land come up and it comes equal to where you're at on this pedestal, right? Maybe not quite. There's like a step down, and it seems like this courthouse is appearing below you again. And Dr. Ryan is now, he's got this sword in his hand, and you see bound at his feet is William. And it feels so real. Like, you think, like, has Dr. Ryan done this? Is this actually happening? And you're not sure. Uh-huh. And so what you see is him put this blade to William's throat, and he looks up to you. And he says, he says, Anaseo Dukara.
She'll look hella confused, but she's already reaching for where she knows where her daggers are. She's got a sword to William's throat.
And you're about 20 feet out, and he says, Anaseo Dukara? And he's like motioning and kind of moving his hand. And William looks back to you, kind of like shaking his head no to not advance. As you reach down for your daggers, you realize they're not there.
Fuck.
Fuck is right.
Yeah.
And then he says, Mas mian liat ya shabil ansin lim.
What the fuck? What are you trying to say?
Anson Liam.
What? God, I need subtitles. And she's gonna look at Dr. Ryan. I was like, put the sword down.
And he says, Shimaman Ilagas Sibas.
She's gonna take a step forward.
And he pulls the sword across his throat. And William, kind of, as he's looking at you, gives one last look, and he falls to the ground and bleeds out to death.
Yeah, I think, yeah, B's just gonna, like, fucking run and try to attack this guy. Fuck this bullshit.
As you run and your fist passes through this character, it turns into a mist, and I don't know what your emotions are now, but you're back in the courtroom all of a sudden.
I think she's just going to end up immediately standing, like, in a huff. Like,
William puts his hand on her shoulder.
And then she'll look at William and then just kind of, like, go and hug him.
And so...
Another time, Miss B. Everything's fine.
I think what we'll relay is that... So, everyone will describe what just happened. Like, she did this vision, and that the directions that you were given by this character, they're not going to say who, they're by this character. I think maybe they didn't perceive it to be the same person that you did. I think you saw it as Dr. Ryan, but they didn't see him as Dr. Ryan.
I think it was a cardboard cutout that said, bad
person.
You can tell, when under pressure, Mrs. B was unable to save a loved one of her sight. Because she was unable to understand the commands given to her in Sylvan. And if anyone's under that level of distress, don't you think they would use every tool at their disposal? And she was not aware that she was being put in this trance and being put on trial in this way. So it stands to reason she doesn't know the Sylvan language.
And for the record, Miss Cersei, could you tell everyone here what the commands were that were given to Miss Beatrice moments before she saw her friend die? And she says, in common,
yes, she was told to throw herself from the cliff if she wanted to save him. And when she did not, the figure said, one more step and he dies. And she immediately took one more step.
Thank you. Does the fence rest, or does the fence have anything else?
Like our case, or just for this thing?
For this witness.
Yeah. No, we're good.
Hey, Devin. Out of curiosity, when's that hail appearing behind B?
The what?
Hey. Not hail. Hey.
Oh. I think you guys can make it up if you want. So we'll do, you guys want to...
Do you have any other witnesses that the prosecution
There's
going to
be one more, the gardener.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's keep going. We'll call that as a rebuttal.
Yep. So I guess you rest and you're done. So then they call the gardener up. Fast talker asks all his questions. Again, Dr. Ryan is unmoving. Doesn't give anything up beyond that eye twitch you had earlier.
How does the gardener respond to the prosecutor's question? Is he backing the I'm a cool guy who saw it's something that everybody else missed? Or is he going along with the prosecutor's story?
He seems to be, almost the way the questions are asked, he feels like he's being pressured more so into being on their side once again.
Hmm. Sure.
And so they rest and it's the defense's turn.
Okay.
Dear sir, we spoke yesterday, and we talked, first of all, can you just describe to the courtroom at large your expertise and your intelligence and your eye for detail? I think it's important that they have that background.
Yeah, so I,
I'm the gardener here, and I've been the gardener here for 20 plus years for major government settings, buildings, whatever it is. I'm in charge of helping establish the beauty that you experience all over the city. And the statue and the fountain in the middle was one of my finer ones that I've been able to help put together. And then this figure comes the other day, yesterday, and is throwing these large pieces of concrete at the statue, breaking off the head of the one, damaging a lot of the foliage that's there, and causing a scene.
Yes, and somebody of your intellect, does this person just sitting behind me seem like she could just toss around concrete and pieces of statues to cause such destruction?
And he looks back over to the prosecutors and back to you and says, no.
Right. And so with your understanding of how heavy those statues are and your general assessment of Mrs. B, does it seem likely that Mrs. B would actually have been the person to do that versus an imposter using magic, which, again, we did determine was on the scene?
With magic, perhaps, but if no magic, I would say no.
Right. And so the prosecutor came up here and asked a lot of fancy questions very quickly, all meant to confuse you and get you on their side. But I have this one question. In all your years of gardening and statue creating, would someone as kind as Mrs. B, shown from her trance, come and destroy your garden for no reason? In your opinion, of course.
Objection, Your Honor. So the character's the character of the defense there doesn't mean that he didn't commit the crime. They're leading.
First of all, that's not. I'm not leading. I'm asking a question about.
Yeah, you're leading everybody to think that just because she's a good person in your sense, you think that she didn't commit a crime. Good people commit crimes all the time, even if they don't mean to.
Sure, but Your Honor,
order. Yep. Three times he says.
There's a voice from a guard in the back. He goes, "He just described an accident." There's a different word for that. When good people do commit crimes and they don't mean to, that's called an accident.
So he gets ordered and he says, Mr. Raven. Four jewels.
Yes. Great. What's important here is that we all have histories. We all have our past. And our character dictates what we will do when no one is watching. And if we're, a scummy person, we might commit crimes of evil. But sometimes, bad things happen to good people all the time. For instance, Mrs. B is being framed. I have no more questions for the witness.
Okay. And he says, are there any more witnesses?
Your Honor, I would like to bring Mr. Howard back up to the stand. I do have a follow-up question for him. As a rebuttal witness, please.
I'm sorry, sir. So after he has stepped down, but you can maybe perhaps address it in your final statement.
I'm sorry, I can't call this witness back up as
you
a
had
rebuttal?
You had your opportunity when he was up. And
I'm allowed to recall... I'm not a man of the Sunset Courts, but in proper courts, you're allowed to bring up witnesses, a rebuttal witness to something another witness has said, or if there's more evidence.
And when you say more evidence, he says, and he kind of covers like this magical mic he's got in front of him and confers with the two lower judges. He says,
"Can you fucking do that? I didn't check the rules."
Mr. Raven, if your evidence does prove to change the substantiation against the defense at this point, we'll allow it. But if it does not, that will not bode well for your...
I just need a moment.
We will dock you 30 cool guy points.
It won't take long, Your Honor, but it is critical to our case. I assure you.
And he says, Mr. Howard, come on back up, please. And Mr. Howard, like, nervously climbs back up to the stand.
As a reminder, Mr. Howard, just because I am an outsider, you are still under oath during this questioning, even though we're not going to take your oath again. And just real quick, you stated just a moment ago... Okay, so... Again, $50 patrons get to make comments, and Zebra says, as I'm about to question him, proceeds to badger Mr. Howard with no points.
Go ahead and knock 30 cool guy points from the defense.
Would have normally done. This is a serious situation. Early in your testimony, you stated that Mrs. B bought a quarter of a hay bale. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And she carried it out with her, yes?
Yep, carried it right out of there.
Well, that's interesting, and here's why. Mrs. B is deadly allergic to hay, and we thought we'd demonstrate it, and I motioned to Dean to, like, shove that hay in her face.
Release the hay. Salt. He pulls a string and just falls in the ceiling.
Mountains. So I think he pulls out a handful and he says, I'm sorry about this, but it seems like the best way to prove that you're not that person.
Stuffs it down the back of her pants. I'm
sorry. And he makes you look like a scarecrow.
She's sniffling and crying and just
everyone starts like chattering.
So bad.
Order, I say. He bangs the gavel.
If Mrs.
And everyone's still murmuring.
Mrs. B.
I said order. I'll call mistrial in this a hot beat. And everyone like hushes. Because again,
a mistrial is in our favor.
And so Dean takes it away and he's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Quick, somebody cast Cure Sniffles.
Dehumidifier.
Antihistamine at third level.
And he says, anything else?
I wanted to point out.
Can you make my itchiness go away? Why?
Well, I cannot.
Why was this necessary? I committed no crime.
If she's allergic to hay, there's no way our Mrs. B could have walked out of your shop holding the hay.
And he says, well, if there's nothing else, then we will let the jury proceed to discuss their verdicts, and we will report back here in 10 minutes. And so he dismisses you all. But you guys kind of just stand around where you are.
Miss B, hey Miss B, what's your favorite Owl City song?
What? I've never heard of that.
Never mind.
What's one? I like the family. That's my favorite one.
There's one called Firefly.
Oh, no. Gosh. Oh,
yeah. Don't need to activate them right now.
The jury comes back out, and he says, I believe the jury has made a decision. And kind of the leader, like, nods, and they have this envelope that they pass up to the lower judges. Lower judges exchange that. And can you guys roll a perception check for me?
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure B is, like, laying on the table right now, arms crossed, and, like, trying not to die.
I rolled a 10.
That'll be a 26 for Miss B.
Dang!
Yep.
It's a 5 for William.
Beatrice, in your sadness and through your swollen eyes, you notice that they are surprised. And they almost seem angry about, like, kind of whatever they're discussing. And then they shake hands and they pass this envelope up. And it just says, with a unanimous vote, all accounts of Miss Beatrice on account of attempted murder.
Poisonry?
Poisonry.
slander, libel, and destruction of valuable property, government property. Not guilty. And the half the crowd erupts in anger, and the other half is like seems joyful in that solution. And then they almost like start infighting with each other. Like the Sun Elves are like arguing amongst each other in the case of Beatrice. And you look over to Ryan, and he looks over to you all, and he smiles.
I'm shadow stepping to him. I'm drawing the Light Eater Gauntlet blade and I'm putting it to his neck.
In the middle of the courtroom? Okay.
In the middle of the courtroom. And I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen, pardon my interruption. Thank you so much for finding us innocent. We're very cool. This guy is not. This is the guy who did all the stuff.
And he says, he puts his hands up. Whatever do you mean? And so you've got some guards now, some Sun Elf guards who are coming down, and they've got these spears, and they are pointing them at you. They're not in they're not going to attack you, but it's obviously like they can't just let you threaten a man's life in the courts.
I'm going to hold that blade up to Ryan's throat. I'm going to look him in the eyes and say, I died once following bullshit that you sold me. I died alone. I won't this time.
You can't stop what's about to come. It doesn't matter if I'm dead. I just had to slow you down.
It'll make me feel a lot better, so I'd be careful right now.
What do you think's going to happen from here? What do you think you are going to do?
I don't know, but it ends with you not leaving here. You're not going to just get away with it.
And he kind of pushes his neck up against the blade where it draws its blood, and he says, I'm nothing. I'm just a small cog in a giant machine.
And your job's to slow me down?
I already did.
Oh, well then I better slow that machine down a little bit too. And I'm just gonna cut his fucking neck.
At the same time, William says Firefly in your head.
Firefly? Yes.
And that's where we're in the episode. And that's a good place. If I had ended it there, what a big dumb idiot I am. Also, I'm not sure I'd handle it. Hey, buddy. Thanks for listening to this episode of Lawful Stupid.
Candidly, I have to go throw
I have a week
notes.
To prepare.
The prestige!
Wow. I don't know, like, when we do episodes like this, if people just, like, why. I eagerly wait for people just flocking in and talk about it. It just doesn't happen so much. But I don't know. We'll see. Maybe this one.
It does, man.
It just
doesn't hit when we lived it.
That's such a delay.
A year from now, somebody on Discord will be like, "That was
wrong over there." When that guy killed Ron?
We're worried about like the boss fight Dwayne has planned for C4. Like we're like way doing a different thing, and then somebody's like, "That was crazy when Fume like gutted Dr. Ryan in front of everybody." They'll be like, "What? Who are those people?"
Facts. Cool. Thanks for listening, guys. And on to the next one. Which is one of my crew members, not the next episode.
Well, maybe. You're on autoplay.
On to the next one.
I'm speechless at this point. Fuck.
She's speechless and she fucks. Hey, yeah. If you want to support the show, you can go to store.lawfulstupid.org and you can get baseball tees. And here's why I'm talking about this specifically, because I'm wearing one and they're comfortable as fuck. You can get the KNG logo shirt. Now let me tell you, here's what I want you to do. I will tell you this. If you buy a KNG logo shirt and then get it and then splatter like red paint across the logo so it's still like visible, but like obviously like fuck the KNG, then I'll send you another shirt for free. If you buy one, take a picture, destroy it with some paint, because fuck the KNG. I'll send you another one for free.
But you gotta post it to socials and do all the things.
You gotta graffiti it in the way that you think is the most entertaining.
Oh, yeah, that's an even better idea.
But the overall message should be fuck the KNG.
Yeah.
But however you want to debase it in such a way that translates to that. Whether it's adding words, taking things away, tearing it, whatever it is. Yeah. Whatever it is to you, let us know how fuck the KNG. And
also, we'll hashtag F the KNG. It needs to be on your social media post.
You can say fuck if you want.
I was just making sure that it fucked something up as social media. Well, yeah, I was like, oh fuck, man, I gotta be careful. This PC world. Yeah.
It's gonna be the Kingdom News of Glory, which is everyone's favorite Christian group. Yeah.
Oh no, that would be the
kids'
worst.
Next generation charity, and you're like, oh god, no.
No!
You should probably check it. Or you can send us spoilers of this cool t-shirt design you're doing in our Discord if you go to discord.lawfulstupid.org.
Yeah, you gotta show them off in the Discord.
Oh, most definitely. Facts. We even have a fan art section. Or you can even put it in the art section. I don't care. Put it somewhere. We'll see it. We want to know.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. I'm not sure about my actions. And I may, in fact, come to regret.
We'll do it together,
buddy. I'm very sure about, and something that I will never regret, is donating to Roll for Humanity and the Adoption Exchange. It's a really worthwhile cause. It's something that's very easy for you to do. You're playing D&D anyway. Pick up one of your D20s, or a D10, or a D6, or a D8, or flip a freaking coin for a D2. Worst case scenario, you're out $2. But just do a little something good through the world around you so you can feel like a double hero. You're like, ooh, I was a hero in my game when I killed the evil Rhine. And then I was a hero in real life when, like, I helped a kid have a family forever. So I'm going to roll right now. I'm going to get a good number. That is a 4. Not teen this time. Devin, it was like a trick for you. It was a 4. Hey, man, there's no shame in this game.
What'd you say
it
was again?
4,
just
baby.
Really drive it home.
$4.
You did get another
$4 the Adoption Exchange didn't have before they do now because of this thing that we do. That's beautiful. I love it.
It's true.
And maybe if some other people pick up the little ripple wave, that'd be more than $4. Maybe we don't have to go it alone. Maybe our party member's going to get our back with their rolls and then let me know what they rolled. He's in hashtag Roll for Humanity on Twitter.
I love it.
Okay. Very nice.
'Tis my time. 12-year-old boy, Scout, is a weird pause. Know-how. I got to be starting. Let me just start over. 12-year-old boy uses. Wait, hold on. 12-year-old
boy named Scout.
12-year-old boy. No. 12-year-old uses Boy Scout know-how to rescue lost couple and injured dog on a hike. Okay. What is... I gotta read this in this. But that's it. 12-year-old boy uses Boy Scout know-how to rescue lost couple and injured dog on a hike.
Okay.
Got it.
Sure.
It's like a struggle boat.
All right, cool. Good story.
Yeah,
Dwayne.
I'm sorry.
Listen. This 12-year-old boy, he's got Boy Scout know-how. And let me tell you, that's important. Because he rescued some people. But here's what they don't want you to know. That nobody wants you to know. This 12-year-old Boy Scout, he fucking put them there. This Dexter motherfucker drugged these bitches, put them out in the woods, fucked them up real good, caused panic, fear, bad on it. This is the world's next Ted fucking Bundy. And you all are celebrating him. What does that say about you?
He put him there.
What does that say about you?
I don't know. You have to be pretty introspective tonight, I think. All right, so here's the thing about this story. You might think it's cute to prop up and cheer on a paramilitary organization whose entire goal is to corrupt the very fabric of this nation, the future of this nation, and our youth. That's all right. Buy some popcorn. Enjoy it.
Paramilitary.
Maybe it'll pair well with your grains or whatever grasses you graze, you fucking sheeple. That's it.
Boy Scouts are paramilitary.
They are! Google it! It's in their fucking charter!
Basically,
they're a paramilitary organization. by definition. They wear uniforms, they go around, they do survival skills, like they move in formations, they're fucking paralyzed.
They're fucking nerds.
For fucking nerds. Hey, I'll say it. If you're a Boy Scout, you're not kissing any girls. Who's like, if you're a Boy Scout, you probably suck. Fuck Boy Scouts, that's me.
Also noteworthy is our $50 patron brought up a good point that this is two different headlines. So he does in fact rescue the lost couple, but he also does injure the dog on a hike. And with that, we say we love you.
We love you. Unless you're a Boy Scout.
Bye. Goodbye. Go buy your Girl Scout cookies instead.
That's also a paramilitary organization. You do not get it. You cannot just cover it with chocolate and bonbons and say this is cute and good. It is... you take a mind, and it's a free-flowing organism, and you put it into a box, and you say you can only think this way. And that's the goal of public schools, of these paramilitary organizations, of the government, of money. That's the whole point.
But aren't I cute and good? I was a Girl Scout.
Anti-Mart.
Anti-Mart, done.